March 8, The Daily Stoic. Don't unintentionally hand over your freedom. Let me just repeat that one again. Don't unintentionally hand over your freedom. If a person gave away your body to some passerby, you'd be furious. Yet you hand over your mind to anyone who comes along. So they may abuse you, leaving it disturbed and troubled. Have you no shame in that? Epictetus. Enchiridion 28. Instinctively, we protect our physical selves. We don't let people touch us, push us around, control where we go. But when it comes to the mind, we're less disciplined. We hand it over willingly to social media, to television, to what other people are doing, thinking, or saying. We sit down to work, and the next thing you know, we're browsing the internet. We sit down with our families, but within minutes, we have our phones out. We sit down peacefully at a park, but instead of looking inward, we're judging people as they pass by. We don't even know that we're doing this. We don't even know that we are doing this. We don't realize how much waste is in it, how inefficient and distracted it makes us, and what's worse, no one is making this happen. It's totally self-inflicted. To the Stoics, this is an abomination. They know that the world can control our bodies. We can be thrown in jail or tossed about by the weather. But the mind, that's ours. We must protect it. Maintain control over your mind and perceptions. They'd say, that's your most prized possession. A year with C.S. Lewis, bad company. We must guard against the feeling that there is safety in numbers. It is natural to feel that all men are as bad as the Christians say. Then badness must be very excusable. If all the boys plow in the examination, perhaps the papers must have been too hard. And so the masters at the school feel, till they learn that there are other schools where 90% of the boys passed on the same papers. Then they begin to suspect that the fault did not lie with the examiners. Again, many of us have had the experience of living in some local pocket of human society, some particular school, college, regiment, or profession where the tone was bad. And inside that pocket, certain actions were regarded as merely normal. Everybody does it. And certain others as impractically virtuous and exotic. But then, when we emerge from that bad society, we made the horrible discovery that in the outer world, our normal was the kind of thing that no decent person ever dreamed of doing. And our exotic was taken for granted as the minimum standard of decency. What had seemed to us morbid and fantastic scruples, so long as we were in the pocket, now turned out to be the only moments of sanity we ever enjoyed. It is wise to face the possibility that the whole human race, even a small thing in the universe, is in fact such a local pocket of evil, an isolated bad school or regiment inside which minimum decency passes for heroic virtue, and utter corruption for pardonable imperfection. From The Problem of Pain. Jesus calling, save your best striving for seeking his face. He is constantly communicating with you. To find him and hear his voice, you must seek him above all else. Anything that you desire more than him is an idol. When you are determined to get your own way, you blot him out of your consciousness, Instead of single-mindedly pursuing some goal, talk with him about it. Let the light of his presence shine on this pursuit so that you can see it from his perspective. If the goal fits in his plan for you, he will help you reach it. If it is contrary to his will for you, he will gradually change the desire of your heart. Seek him first and foremost, then the rest of your life will fall into place, piece by piece. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. 1 Chronicles 16:11. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6:33.